The Royals are 19-27, worst record in the American League. They're 7.5 games out of first. Minnesota's in first by 2 games over Cleveland. The Royals get the day off. If you didn't, if you're just tuning in late, the Royals game against the Yankees today has been postponed due to rain. They'll make it up on a Monday, September the 25th, when at that point I will proclaim the Royals will be out of the playoff race, if they aren't already. Now, Dayton Moore.
A whole different team.
Could be. But that's not how Dayton Moore sees it right now. Royals general manager Dayton Moore prefers to hold off until at least 40 games are played before making any proclamations during a season. And with the Royals just past that marker and off to a sluggish 19-27 start, Moore is even more adamant that this season's team is a postseason contender. And before you jump to conclusions here, folks, listening, let's hear him out. Moore told MLB.com, "My thought process hasn't changed. I thought this was a playoff-caliber team coming out of spring training, and I still think that way. You just don't know what can happen down the road. We could win 40 games in August and September and win the American League Central. I'm not throwing up the white flag. We just go. We go and we play and we do everything we can as an organization to win every game. We strive to get better every day. We are going to remain focused on winning in 2017, and I mean throughout 2017. We believe we owe it to our players and to our fan base. We'll remain laser-focused on winning." Moore, though, emphasized that the Royals need to be more versatile offensively. He likes the power surge, 52 home runs, which is on pace to break the club record of 168. But he added, "I like the added power, don't get me wrong, but you look back at the 14 and 15 teams, those teams fought with everything they had to get on base and drive guys in. If there's one issue we have right now, it's runners in scoring position. We're not doing well in that department. The Royals are hitting .202 with runners in scoring position. That is last in Major League Baseball." But Moore is optimistic. He says it'll even out over time. "I believe this offense will prove that." When asked about how all the speed he used to have is not on the team right now, Moore said, "You still have to win games multiple ways. We haven't abandoned the speed element. We started the season with Raul Mondesi and Terrence Gore on the roster. We could still see them in the near future. We've got Billy Burns in the system. We have Paulo Orlando. We certainly would have that speed element in September." And he goes on to say, "A lot of baseball left. We've had some exceptional games where we executed at all levels this season. We've had games where we played poorly in all phases, so we just need to be more consistent." End of quote. Well, first of all, your speed element's not going to help you a lot in September if you're already out of the race. I disagree with a lot of things he just said. Now, having said that, that doesn't mean that we're right and he's wrong. And here's why. Let's go back in history to 2014. That was a year I never thought the Royals were going to make the playoffs. It wasn't a situation where the Royals needed to sell at the time, but they were 48-50. They got swept by the Red Sox after the All-Star break, and Billy Butler said that the Royals are a second-half team, and we laughed because there was nothing to prove that. But he must have known something we didn't, as the Royals did. They were a second-half team that year. And at the time, when the Royals were 48-50 in 2014, after the All-Star break, there were a lot of Royals fans, and you know who you are, that wanted Ned Yost fired and wanted Dayton Moore gone. You were impatient, or you were rightfully impatient because you waited a long time. And we've heard it before, Dustin, I've heard it from straight from Dayton Moore himself at seminars, that, you know, it's a certain plan, and that plan became a little bit longer. Well, you know what? Dayton Moore, Ned Yost, their patience paid off. Royals turned it around, got things going. They made it to Game 7 of the World Series in 2014. Of course, we know what happened in 2015 when they won it all. So based on that history, you can see why Dayton Moore might be optimistic right now, more so than Royals fans like Dusty and myself, even though the Royals are 19-27. Okay? Now, let's fast forward now from 14 and 15 to last year. He was also very optimistic at the trade deadline and did not trade Edison Volquez or Kendrys Morales. And granted, he might not have had a lot of great offers for those two guys, so maybe it made sense to keep them. But for the most part, he was keeping those guys because he thought they could be a postseason team and make a run. They made a run in August after a horrible July, and then September, they kind of just played out the string because they were basically out of it. And that was a mistake. Looking back on it, that was a mistake. So Dayton Moore was right in 2014. He was patient. It paid off for the next year and a half. And Royals fans, we were wrong. We were. He was right. Last year, a lot of Royals fans said we need to trade those guys and get something for them instead of losing them for basically nothing. And Dayton Moore didn't do anything and held, stood pat. And in that case, the fans were right and Dayton Moore was wrong. So we're tied 1-1. This is the important rubber match, Royals fans. This is the important rubber match. And if you're a Royals fan, you've got to hope that you lose this rubber match. What do you mean? What am I trying to say? If you want your team to be as good as it can be, and your organization be as good as it can be, and you're a true Royals fan, then you want Dayton Moore to be right with what he just said. You need him to be right. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if Dayton Moore is wrong, and the fans like Dusty and myself and others are right, the Royals are going to be in a tailspin for at least a few years after this. Mm-hmm. And the reason I say that is based on what Dayton is saying, hey, we can get hot in August, September. That's what he's virtually saying, which by then it might be too late, but he's in a mediocre division, so it might still be possible, which is a fool's gold, I think, for Dayton Moore and the Royals to believe in that. They're 8 games under 500 right now. They're 19-27. They've got older guys that are not producing. This is not a young team like in 2014 that finally figured it out. That's not what this team is. It's a whole different team. They don't move base runners. They don't hit with runners in scoring position. The bullpen isn't nearly as good as it was. The rotation is okay and better than in 2014 and 15, but there is no depth to overcome injuries because we've seen Chris Young still have to spot start. Miguel Amonte has to come up from Double-A to make a possible start. Kyle Zimmer is injury prone. That was a draft bust so far by Dayton Moore. Bubba Starling so far has been a bust. Now there's plenty of time for Bubba to change that. Christian Colon was a complete bust as a high number 4 overall pick in the draft by Dayton Moore. Those things all catch up to you. And if Dayton Moore is wrong, and us Royals fans need to hope he's right, because if he's right, then we're going to have one more year of playoff baseball. Whether they make the World Series or not, we'll make the playoffs, make some noise perhaps. We're still going to pay the piper if we keep all these guys on the team because we're probably not going to re-sign very many of those free agents going into next year. But we at least had one more run, and we got to the playoffs. So that's for the Royals fans that want to still see success this year. That's what you should be hoping, and you should hope that Dayton Moore is right and we are wrong, and he wins the rubber match of these three big decisions the last 4 years. If you're a Royals fan and you believe that the Royals are not playoff-caliber team, and you believe strongly that you're right and Dayton Moore is wrong right now in his analysis, then what you want to see is the Royals tank. Not tank on purpose, but just be bad. Because if they're bad to where there's no chance that even Dayton Moore, Mr. Optimistic, says, oh, wow, we could win 40 games over the course of August, September, still not win the division, well, then he's got to sell. And if he sells, then he's got to get Dayton Moore's not done with just selling. He's got to get the right pieces in trades when he makes those fire sales, whether it's Hosmer, Eustachius, Kane, Escobar, Vargas, or whoever it might be, to speed up the rebuilding project, because that's what it's going to be. You can talk about reloading all you want. You're wrong. It would be rebuilding. Unless you can re-sign two or three of these guys that are important and are going to be good. Like, if you re-sign Hosmer, Eustachius, and, okay, you got those two coming back, now maybe the rebuild, maybe you could say it's somewhat of a reloading project, but I still think it would be rebuild. But if you don't keep any of those guys after this year and they all go bye-bye via free agency, or you keep just one of those guys, let's say Escobar or Kane, and everybody else walks, well, it is a rebuild. We already talked about it. Where are the Royals set? What position are they set at next year? There's only two positions, and that's starting pitcher ace Danny Duffy and Salvador Perez catcher. And probably the other one is left field Alex Gordon, who's hitting a whopping 174 and making $20 million next year instead of 16 this year. So I think if you're a Royals fan and you're into, I want to make the playoffs this year and I'm not worried about the future, then you got to hope that Dayton Moore is right about this. If you're a Royals fan concerned about the future and you're one of those Royals fans like me that even if the Royals make the playoffs, I don't think they're going to do much damage, then you're probably sitting here thinking it'd be okay if the Royals stay the way they are right now. Then Dayton's forced to make a move, sell a couple of the pieces at least, and we get something back so we can replenish the system so that we can be good again 4 years from now instead of 7-8 years from now, or maybe in a couple years. That the down period for the Royals will be maybe 2 or 3 years instead of 4, 5, or 6 years. Because I'm telling you right now, and I don't want to be Debbie Downer, but if the Royals do not get anything worthwhile for any of these pending free agents, and the Royals, even if they sign Hosmer and they lose the rest of the guys, or they sign Moose and Escobar and let the other guys walk, this team's going to pay for not getting something for the free agents that they let go. Mm-hmm. You get my drift? They're not going to re-sign all five of those free agents I just mentioned. They're not. They don't have the money. They don't have the payroll. Well, Glass might have the money, but they're not going to have a $200 million payroll, especially when you have 145 now and they're the worst team in the American League. David Glass isn't stupid, okay? He's a businessman once again, getting back to what we talked about. He didn't want to lose money.
No.
So this is a critical juncture in the future of the Kansas City Royals organization. I've lived it. Younger Royals fans out there, you may not know what it's like. I've lived it. Dusty's lived it. Older fans have lived it than us. And that is, we've gone through 29 years of misery. We know what bad baseball is. It's horrible. There are younger people than us that didn't know what winning baseball was in Kansas City and made fun of the Royals all the time and kept telling me it was a football town. And I told them, you don't know what you're talking about. I said, wait till the Royals are good. If the Royals ever get good, I will guarantee you it is a baseball town. You know what? Some of those younger people now I talked to said, you were right.
Mm-hmm.
Because you never saw a winning product, so you didn't understand what we were trying to tell you because you're younger and you weren't born yet when the Royals were good in the early 80s and late 70s and the mid 80s. You didn't understand what we're trying to say, which is fine. You have to see it to believe it. I get it. Some of those same young fans, even like high school kids right now or younger, that think the Royals are always great, have no idea of how bad they were for almost three decades. So they don't believe what we're saying right now, okay? They're sitting there going, oh, come on, we're always good. We're going to make the playoffs. We're at least going to be close. We're going to be competitive. No, you could easily be horrible, but you don't know what Royals horrible baseball is because you're so young, you lucked out, and you missed out on 29 years of misery. So I'm like, I warned people before the Royals got good again, is it is a baseball town. It's not a football town. It is a baseball town, and the fans will come when you win, and the fans will rejoice when you win, and if you could ever bring a championship to Kansas City, the place will be nuts and gaga googly eyes over you. That's exactly what happened. And listen, I'm not the only one that was saying that. Everybody that knows Royals baseball and anything about Kansas City already knew that. But for the younger generation, they didn't believe us saying that, and then once it happened, it's like, oh, yeah, that's what you were talking about. Well, I'm saying right now, for those of you that don't understand how bad the Royals were losing 106 games, losing 100 games 3 out of 4 years and being horrible and half the stadium empty, and let's give credit to Royals faithful. They still bring more fans to a horrible product than the Tampa Bay Rays do to a good product in Tampa. So Royals fans still, that's why I knew Royals fans would embrace a winner because I'd seen it before. But secondly, they still were coming out decent attendance for a cruddy product. So here's the thing. I don't want the Royals to go back and have this cruddy product for an extended period of time. You see what I'm saying? Like, there are some people listening might say, well, wait a minute, Wade, you want them to be bad this year so that they're not bad for a long, long time. That doesn't make any sense. Well, it does based on the situation, and that is all of the free agents. If the Royals did not, if all these guys were under contract, then I'd have a whole different outlook on this.
Oh, yeah.
But they're not. Those five guys, main core players, are all free agents at the end of the year. And the Royals don't have the money to re-sign all of them. Why? Because Dayton Moore's made horrible mistakes. Next year, he's going to spend $67 million in guaranteed money on six players ages 32 and older. 20 on Gordon, 16 on Kennedy, 8 on Soria, 6.5 on Travis Wood, who's been horrible, $7.3 million for Brandon Moss, and $9 million for Jason Hamill. That's just for six players next year that aren't even core players, who are not star players. Those are guys that, quite frankly, are over the hill. Soria's played better this year. Kennedy's been a decent signing, but the Royals still paid way too much and gave him too long of a contract. That's going to come back and bite him with the escalation clauses in the back of the contract. That's another reason why the Royals have to get younger and they have to get cheaper, and which means they can't be going out and re-signing Eric Hosmer and Mike Moustakas to $100 million deals this offseason because they're done. They're toast. What they need to do is get guys in their system like a Jorge Bonifacio. By the way, here's a great comparison, and I know I'll go back to Gordon. Alex Gordon has zero home runs this year, all right? He's hitting under 200, and he's a good defensive player, no question. But the Royals are paying him $16 million this year. Jorge Bonifacio is getting paid the league minimum. Which player has been better for the Royals offensively this year, Bonifacio or Gordon?
Bonifacio, without question.
The Royals, if they could be like the NFL and cut Gordon today and save the rest of the contract, the Royals would do it, I think. Oh. And if the Royals,
insane if they did.
Right, and the Royals do that, now that suddenly changes your outlook for me on what the Royals financially can do. Now there's all that money. You could re-sign Eric Hosmer if you think he's a guy worth signing to a lot of money. You'd have more money to re-sign Lorenzo Cain if you feel that's a guy you want back, or Jason Vargas, or whoever it might be. But it's baseball's not like the NFL. That money is not there. That money is already gone. Think about that. The Royals payroll is $143 million, to be exact, this year. What is 60? Half of $143 million is $71.5 million. The Royals have half of this year's payroll amount already paid out for next year for six players that aren't great, that are all declining older players. You don't think the Royals need to get younger, alternative players, younger players in the system that are close to being major league ready, that they can afford to just, well, we're going to be good in August and September. I can feel it. Well, I'm sorry, Dayton. I'm not feeling it. Now, I could be dead wrong because I was wrong in 14, although there was no fire sale at the time, and all those guys were younger, but we were wrong at the time. We joked and made fun of Billy Butler. I'll be the first to say it. We were wrong. Yeah. Billy Butler, like, come on, Billy, second half team, why do you even come up with that? He ended up being right. They all looked like geniuses. So I have always given Dayton more credit for what he did in that 2-3 year span and leading up to the World Series. Any guy that can bring a World Series championship to Kansas City should have a statue made of him for the rest of time outside of Kauffman Stadium. Having said that, Dayton Moore's job is still to be the GM of the Royals. Even though he won a World Series, the work didn't end there. The work continued. And the work that he has done since the Royals won the World Series in regards to the signings and long-term deals he has given out to players and signing older free agents has flat out blown up in his face to this point. So he's in a situation where he made his bed. He's got to lie in it. He's gone from the best GM in baseball to perhaps right now the worst GM in baseball. And trust me, there's an in-between. He's not that dumb. He might not have been that smart at the time. He maybe got a little bit lucky with Ryan Madsen and other guys like that. It worked out. Now you have to trust Dayton Moore. And when Dayton Moore says, we could win 40 games over the months of August, September, win the Central, that comment scares me. I'm all for Dayton Moore coming out and saying, hey, listen, I believe in this team. I know we're 8 games under 500. I know some guys aren't playing well. We have to step it up. We still aren't out of this thing. We're in a division we can still win, and we're just going to take it day by day and try to get better. I've been cool with any of that. But when he says we could win 40 games in August, September, and win the American League Central, it sounds to me like he's Billy Butler from 2014. We're a second-half team. You just wait. Well, yeah, in 14 you were. In 15 you weren't. You had a big lead at the break, and you weren't great the second half. You did what you had to do. You won 95 games, and you got home field advantage. Remember, it was at a horrible September in 15.
Yeah. Won like 10 games.
It was horrible. Yeah. They were bad. And that was okay. They took the foot off the pedal. And then last year they were not a second-half team. They were horrible in July. That's what cost them any chance of making the playoffs. So out of the last 3 years, they've been a good second-half team. And we go back to this. Some Royals fans still hang on that. Well, remember 14 when we got hot? Yeah, Billy Butler was on that team. Nori Aoki was on that team. Those guys are long gone. It's not the same team. There's no Wade Davis.
Omar Infante was on that team.
He was a starting second baseman.
Yes.
There was no Zobrist. There was no Cueto. There was no Wade Davis. There's no Greg Holland. Cueto and Zobrist came in 15, so they weren't part of 14, all right? Wade Davis, Greg Holland, those guys weren't on. They were on that team. They're not on this team.
Yeah.
Why do I think the Royals are not going to do what Dayton hopes they're going to do? I think Dayton, once again, is thinking with his heart instead of his head, or he's just saying things to support his team and his players, but secretly behind closed doors, he's got a whole other thinking pattern, and that is, yeah, within the next month, we got to think about a fire sale. He could easily be doing that.
Yeah, you need to be winning 40 games over June and July, not over August and September.
Amen.
If this thing's going to stay together right now. You can't go in with that mentality if you're Dayton Moore.
You're in a bad division now, and you're still 7.5 out.
Yeah, I understand him saying that publicly. I don't have a problem with that. But if that's his actual thinking,
and then we're in trouble.
What he's actually going to do, there's a serious issue with that.
Right.
Because there's been 46 games, okay? I looked it up the other day. The Royals are in last place in the American League in every major offensive category except home runs.
Yes, and that's what. And do you notice
average Casey, hits, doubles, triples, RBI? They have the they're tied for ninth with 52 home runs when I looked at it.
Right,
and they didn't have any yesterday, so they're still at 52 home runs. They were tied for ninth. Their RBIs are like 40 less than everybody else.
Because all they're do all is solo, hit solo homers. Home runs. Because they're behind and pitchers give them fastballs because they're trying to speed up the game and get an out and not walk them.
So, I mean, because
so don't you think the home run total is fool's gold?
It is. Because when you said that the other day, that the Royals have the most home runs they've had in a long time at this point of the season, you know, the amount of home runs that they've hit is way up compared to normal. And I was like, I wonder how many RBIs they have because it can't be a lot because they hit a lot of solo home runs. And I looked, it's like 35 or 40 less than the 14th place team in the American League in RBIs. It's insane. It's like,
their
runs scored obviously are about 30 less than what the others have.
So in the last few days, since the Royals hit four homers against the Yankees the other day, everything I read on KCRoyals.com, not everything, but a lot of talk is about the Royals' power surge and how many homers they have. It's like a political agenda where you're a politician and you have one strength and tons of weaknesses. But what do you put on TV? You keep promoting the one strength you have, which is smart. But that's what the Royals are doing right now. Well, we're hitting all these home runs. Yeah, but it's gotten you to 19 and 27. Your home runs, half of those home runs at least, have been an eighth, ninth inning when it didn't matter.
Yeah.
Solo home runs. Most of Salvador Perez's home runs have not meant much this year. Neither has Brandon Moss's, by the way.
Yeah.
And Gordon hasn't even hit one yet. Okay? So they're sitting there talking about, oh, well, and even Dayton mentioned that he likes the added power. Yeah, because we've become a beer softball league type of team. We don't have any speed. We don't move any guys around. We don't bunt because we can't bunt. We can't get guys on. When we do, we can't drive them in because we're trying to hit home runs. And that's the only good strength we have is home runs. I'll argue that strength is why we're weak in so many other areas.
Yeah.
And why is that? Because of the things Dayton Moore did in the offseason. And that is getting Brandon Moss, okay? He's a guy that doesn't make contact. When he does, yeah, he can hit it out of the park. Re-signing Alex Gordon, okay? I can keep going down all these same contracts we talk about over and over and over. Trading Davis for Soler. You didn't have to trade Davis. Bonifacio could have been your right fielder. You didn't have to worry about Soler, and you could have Wade Davis today. Okay, now I still think that was the right move, trading him, and you maybe didn't know Bonifacio might be able to do what he's doing. And by the way, Bonifacio, the league could adjust to him very quickly, and because Whit Merrifield was tearing it up last year when he came up, and then all of a sudden he was not tearing it up, and then he started this year really struggling. Now he's on a roll. But you can't sit here and go, Bonifacio's for sure your everyday right or left fielder, in fairness to Gordon and others.
Mm-hmm.
But he certainly shows promise that he could be one of your outfielders. Well, he could replace Gordon, or you could have left Gordon there, and you could have him in place of Soler, and you wouldn't have had to trade Wade Davis. Hindsight's 20-20. I get all that. But this Royals team is nothing like the team in 14 and 15. So if you're sitting here going, well, we're going to make a run like we made a run before, well, first of all, you don't have any speed on this team, much of it. You don't play defense quite as well as you once did. You're an aging team. Your bullpen is worse. And now you don't even move runners over like you used to do. You don't get stolen bases. So now you're swinging for the fences, hoping to win what? Slugfest? That ain't going to work. And it isn't so far. Why is that going to change? Why is that part going to change?
None of that's going to change. We're 46 games, and I understand that there's still 100.
That's why I don't see all the optimism.
16 or whatever left, whatever it is. But it's just like,
and then your closer blows a couple games when you really need a win.
Yeah.
He's not a proven closer. Yeah. That's another problem.
There's so many things that are wrong with this team.
This is not a playoff team.
And that's what makes it aggravating that the Central's bad this year. You need somebody to take that thing by the horns. If you're a Royals fan right now today and you're on Wade and I's side on this argument, you need somebody at the top of this thing to get on a hot streak and get on a roll. Minnesota is not going to be that team, I don't think.
Cleveland.
You need Cleveland to be that team to get on a hot streak and take over this division in June and then into the beginning of July.
And then it'll make Dayton Moore's decision easier.
Like, we're down, but we're still playing this kind of baseball, and we're 13 games behind instead of 7.
Here's the other thing you got to think about, too, is, okay, I've heard this before that, well, you got a lot of games against your division team, so that's a chance to catch up. True, but why do the Royals think that they're better than the Twins? They can't beat the Twins.
They can't beat the White Sox either.
Right. If you can't beat the Twins and the Indians, and they're the top two teams in division, why do you think you're going to get hot in August, September and win this division?
Yeah.
First of all, you got to start beating those guys. Now, the Royals beat the Twins to a pulp last year. This year, they can't beat them. They just don't. And that means, to me, very simple, Twins are better.
Yeah.
The Twins are better. The division itself, the Twins are better. The White Sox are still aren't very good. Cleveland's still good. Detroit's about the same. And the Royals are worse. This division, the Royals aren't going to be... We said it before. The Royals' record against the White Sox and Twins last year was 29-9. They've already lost more than nine games against those teams right now.
That was a 500 team.
And that was a team that went 500. That means they were 20 under 500 against the rest of the Major League Baseball. That was not a great team last year.
No.
It's almost like some Royals fans and maybe even some Royals people in the front office a little bit forgot about last year. There was the euphoria of winning the World Series, and we keep thinking about the World Series.
Like
and it's like
it
we,
because,
yes, we gloss
we were
over
tired. We played in two World Series in a row. Those are the excuses. We've been there two in a row, two postseasons in a row. It's actually going to be kind of nice to.
We just need an October
a
off,
bit of a rest, and get off. And but then, we got guys playing in the World Baseball Classic.
Yeah.
That apparently the wear and tear wasn't that bad.
Yeah, and playing winter ball.
Yeah, and playing winter ball, and it's just like we're all good, and I think you're. Comparison to politicians and politics in general is good with what we're talking about there too. You know that everybody's good at trying to find some reason why it's going like it is, mm-hmm. and some reason why you're having things not go in your favor like you did for 2 years making it to the World Series.
Yeah,
you know that's the biggest thing for me is everybody's like, oh, they were tired, or maybe they were, but. What's the excuse this year?
Well, I've heard the
They're
talk that
anymore.
When you go to the World Series, it's hard to get back because you're tired and you go a longer season. Well, the Royals did it two straight years. They defied the odds and went back the very next year and won it all.
Yeah, Rangers did it. They lost both of them, but they did it.
Rangers did it.
2 years in a row.
Now I get 3 years in a row. That's probably harder, no question. But I think that's a bit of a cop-out. I agree with you on that. But I just think at the end of the day here, I hope Dayton Moore is right for the sake of the organization. And that he wins the rubber match between him and the fans on these things. Because, like I said, he was right in 14. He was wrong last year. So we're tied at 1-1, and this is a rubber match. And this one, to me, is the biggest decision of them all because this one's going to determine how bad the Royals are going to be for the next 3, 4, 5 years or whether we sink back to mediocrity or well below that. Last year's mediocrity, 81-81. That's mediocre. That's average. The Royals were god-awful for so many years. I'm okay with the Royals being god-awful for a couple years to get things back on track because we went for it and we traded prospects. I get that. But I am not a Royals fan that wants to see this team god-awful the next 6, 7 years, and I'm worried that's going to happen because Dayton Moore is going to use his heart instead of his head. The Royals are going to have fool's gold because they're in a division that isn't that great and nobody's pulling away, and unfortunately the Indians aren't playing as well as they should. And the Royals sit here and they stand pat and they don't make the playoffs and you lose all these free agents. You don't get hardly anything back for them. And then what do you got next year on opening day? Danny Duffy pitching Salvador Perez with a $20 million guy on left field. And then everybody else, good luck naming who your starters are. Bubba Starling going to be your starting center fielder next year?
Bonifacio.
In right? Soler in right? One of them's going to be a DH. Moss will be gone.
Dozier
will you cut bait
right
with
now?
Moss? Dozier's now just getting healthy. He's coming back a rehab assignment. He's on the, he was on the 60-day DL. He can't count on him yet. Cuthbert had only 1 year in the majors as a starter.
Mondesi,
who can't hit. I mean, you got 7 or 9 regular
James,
positions.
Peter O'Brien, they DFA'd.
They let him go. He's gone. What do you? I mean, you have nothing. If you let all these guys walk, you have virtually nothing going into next year except Perez and Duffy.
Yeah.
And Kennedy, I guess, if you want to consider him. What else does this team have going into next year? Herrera's he's wearing down, it looks like, not throwing as hard, and, of course, he's not been a good closer, which if you're a horrible team, you don't need a closer. And that's another thing we haven't even factored in. Maybe Dayton needs to have a combination of trading a few of the free agents, try to sign one or two, and then trade Herrera and other guys on this team that have some value that aren't free agents to try to restock the system.
Mm-hmm.
Because the system's pretty bare when Chris Young is making spot starts and Miguel Amonte is called up from Double-A to fill
Junis.
In your rotation. And Jake Junis, you have a very weak farm system. And that responsibility lies on Dayton Moore.
Dayton Moore.